expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right or wrong? My baby don't like anything I do. My teacher seems to feel the same way too.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You're listening to the Problem Corner. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at KFARradio.com. I'm sorry. This is David Pruse. If you want to call in to the guests, we're at 907-458-TALK. That's 907-458-8255. Today's a Tuesday. It's a day of politics. And in the studio with me, I have the presiding officer of the Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly, Aaron Lajewski. How you doing, sir?
Hi, David. I'm good.
You know, I saw your letter to the editor in Sunday's paper, and the Borough Assembly did something it had never done before. Interesting.
Yes, and I could always say there's always caveats.
Yeah.
And first of all, for anyone who's listening, I am technically the presiding officer. I'm not here under that role.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just here as myself.
Mm-hmm.
And we are going to be talking about some
history
assembly
of
related things, but these are just my opinions.
Yeah.
And that's especially important to say if you happen to have that role that they put me into, because that role does have the authority to speak on behalf of be the spokesperson for the assembly. I'm not exercising that in any way, shape, or form. So just me and David, right? And
that's
you're
right.
Not representing the city of Fairbanks.
Not a bit.
Same thing.
Nope.
The assembly, as far as I know, for the beginning of history of the assembly, but of course no one can remember all the way back. And now that I say this, watch, we're going to have someone call in. I've been listening to every assembly meeting since they went on the air. But we've had a long, really, really good tradition of, I would say, respect for rights of the minority. And it's baked into Robert's rules and basically parliamentary procedure that governments really, I would say, you know, around the whole country anyway, tend to recognize quite well. And so that principle that we've done, and we've done it even more than I would say what Roberts calls for, and that's a good thing, and I want to continue it, is that the idea is if someone goes through the work, they have an idea, they go to the attorney, they get it signed off, and they draft an ordinance, they have to get it signed off by the attorney, and that doesn't mean the attorney thinks it's a good idea. Or it's a bad idea.
But it's in technical correct form.
They think it's legally
acceptable.
It's something that the body can do, and the attorney, if it was challenged, thinks that it's defensible in court. If they go through all that work, then what they do is they send it off to, they usually do this to the clerk's office, but ultimately they send it off to the presiding officer to be calendared. And so the first, and this gets a little technical, but the first step where you guys all remember, I don't know, from elementary school, if you all watched like the video, like how a bill becomes law. I don't remember. There's like some jingle, some cartoon about that. Well, this is sort of like the same thing. How does an ordinance become code? It has to be conceived. It has to be drafted. It has to be signed off by the borough attorney. And then it goes off to the presiding officer for calendaring. And so it gets slapped in on the agenda. And I'm actually looking at a copy of it right now under something called consideration of calendar. So the presiding officer says, hey, all this stuff, future assembly would like you to consider calendaring it. And at that stage, it goes to a meeting, but it's not really up for debate.
Mm-hmm.
It's just typically what happens is we use something called a consent agenda. That's where you lump everything together. And typically it gets passed right at the very beginning of the meeting. And it just means, hey, we are calendaring this for a future meeting. That's it. I mean, we're going to consider this in the future. And the thing that normally happens is that it goes on consent and it just goes forward, because the agreement has always been if someone goes through all that work to have it, it will be heard. The public will have a chance to come in and comment on it. They can debate. They can say what's good about it, what's bad about it, what's neutral about it, and it will have a chance. That's been the agreement. It's just it'll have a chance. And so Then after that stage, usually we don't hear about it as the public at that stage at all because it's so non-controversial. It's always been accepted that this happens, right? Mm-hmm. Then the next stage is, it goes to usually a work session or a finance committee meeting of the assembly. Sometimes you'll get like a journalist article there, and that's usually the following week. Okay, and then so week one, it gets introduced. Week two, typically you have the work session. And then week three, this is when it comes on the floor of the assembly. Typically you do public hearing, everyone signs up for the 3 minutes of testimony. And then typically after that, you actually have your assembly debate and usually they vote on it. Now they don't have to. Mm-hmm. The assembly doesn't actually have to debate it. They could just be like, no, we've heard enough or whatever. So what happened on, was it our last meeting or the meeting?
It was your last meeting.
It was the last meeting. Is that we had an assembly member who drafted an ordinance.
Jimmy Cash.
And I didn't want to, I'm trying not to say names or concepts at least yet.
Yeah, don't worry.
Because I want to stick to the concept because it's so easy when we find out the personalities or the content matter to get distracted by that. And so we can talk about that later. But and you do what you want, obviously. I'm on your show.
Yeah.
And I'll do what I want.
It's your 44 minutes.
At least until I get kicked off. But at any rate, yeah, so there was an assembly member who drafted an ordinance, and actually this particular person had to leave the meeting early. The particular person has been traveling a lot to take care of a sick family member. And this is actually even a thing that kind of made what happened even a little bit more offensive is usually if something happens where an assembly member has to leave temporarily to take care of a family member or whatever, even if the ordinance was scheduled for the floor of the assembly, usually what the assembly would have done in the past is...
Table it.
Well,
or bring it back.
Yeah, delay it until the person's back and kind of give them the respect because it's like, hey, they're just taking care of a family member. Something came up. But in this case, right, it was just to be introduced. It was pulled off consent for a good reason, by the way. We had a member with a potential conflict of interest. And so that's one, it's just a procedural thing. That way, the person with the conflict of interest can vote on everything else that's on consent. And then the rest of the assembly can vote on this one on its own. So that there was nothing weird with that. That was all normal. But then when it did come up for a vote, we're talking about this ordinance. So at this stage, the assembly was just basically voting on whether they wanted to hear it, to argue about it in the future. The vote went 3-4. It needed 5 votes. So one person was conflicted out who probably would have voted yes if she could have voted. And then another person was gone, the actual sponsor. So they wouldn't hear anything. And that's what... to my knowledge, has never happened before. And so it's really a very dangerous concept if you think about it, because now I'm going to go like slippery slope here a little bit. Mm-hmm. In the extreme, what could this mean?
You opened up Pandora's box.
Imagine if you had 5 or more assembly members who just didn't like somebody. Mm-hmm. Newsflash, that's actually happening right now. But let's suppose they wanted to act on it. And I'm not saying the person who sponsored this, that this is what happened, okay, folks who are listening. But just imagine... you have a 9-member body, it could be a city council, an assembly, whatever, anywhere in the country, and you got 5 or more who just decide they don't like one or more people, they could actually say those people can't introduce ordinances. They could just vote them down every time they get introduced. They're not even allowed to have their ordinances heard. And to me, what that would mean is all the voters who voted for them, they've just been disenfranchised because their representatives they can't introduce ordinances. And that's one of the really important responsibilities of an elected official, is to be able to do that. Now they could still vote. They haven't been fully stripped of their basic...
Who are the 4 people who voted?
I'm not going to call out the people who voted against it by name.
Okay. Do you want me to?
I'm not here to make anyone look bad, because you have to understand that this cuts both ways. It can be used in different factions, different identities, but... for me, the main principle is everyone should be able to introduce an ordinance or to city council. I guess you guys do ordinances too.
You have a very fractioned borough assembly.
We do. I think we're going to be getting better, though.
Well, you think this is a linchpin to have you get better or to get worse?
No, this is just more of a symptom of what's happening, but I think we're going to get better.
Hmm. Fair Minks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. I have Aaron Olchewski, presiding officer, in the studio with me, who's not here as a presiding officer. He's here as citizen and historian. And we'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
just in time for their beautiful new location. Fairbanks Clinic is proud to welcome their newest doctor to Fairbanks. Come meet Dr. Torrance Nicholson, MD. Dr. Nicholson worked as a surgeon and ophthalmologist during the 2 years that he resided in West Africa under the auspice of the Jimmy Carter Foundation. He's an avid outdoorsman who will fit in just fine in the Golden Heart City. So make an appointment today to see Dr. Nicholson, now at the all-new Fairbanks Clinic, corner of Cushman and Gaffney, online at fairbanksclinic.com.
Arctic RV is a proud sponsor of Shooter's Corner with your host, Laura Berkowitz, for the latest news and conversation in the world of guns and your Second Amendment rights. Arctic RV helps their customers exercise their personal freedoms by getting out to play in Alaska and staying there longer. Although they are closed for now, they reopen this spring on April 3rd. Alaska plays rough, so rough it in style with Arctic RV. Listen in every Thursday morning at 11 for Shooter's Corner, right here on KFAR.
Weather brought to you by Vitus Energy. Vitus Energy was born in Alaska. Vitus Energy provides superior service and very competitive pricing. Find them on Facebook or see them online at vitus-energy.com.
KFAR weather.
Overcast today with snow likely. Highs around 8 above. Easterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Snow likely again tonight. Lows around 6 below. Overcast skies. Highs around 5 above. Tomorrow, snow likely. 1 to 2 inches of snow today through tomorrow. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM,
and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Pruse in the studio here with Aaron Lajewski. So what was this ordinance going to be looking at that was not advanced?
Well, so we've actually had the intersection of three highly controversial topics that are all kind of bombarding the assembly at the same time. And you could even argue four, because now we have budget season looming. And that's kind of always kind of a controversial topic, as you know, yeah, for most bodies. And so, but we've had three that kind of all hit together. And you know, I didn't want to call out, like in the article to the paper, what the topic was, because it's so easy to get distracted by the content of the topic and whether you're pro or against it. And I'm really trying to isolate down to the
topic. Yeah, but it was a topic that caused it. So
it
what
contributed.
Was it, what was the topic?
But the first thing, the point of my article to the paper is it's like we should all agree.
I read your article. You're correct.
That we should hear, and we should hear the debate. We shouldn't procedurally kill things. And so the three controversial topics that we've had up is we've had a trails plan that's been incredibly contentious. We've had a climate action plan that's been incredibly contentious. And then we've had a surprise one that ordinarily in the past, like we've dealt with these sorts of issues all the time, but this particular one has turned out to be highly contentious as well. And it was it's still kind of ongoing, a Two Rivers Fire Service area election. It's really the election that's been very contentious that occurred a few months ago. Mm-hmm. And the results of the election and some questions surrounding the election. And the certification of that election. So we did have a huge controversy in December we only had one meeting in December about the certification of this particular election. I'm bringing this up because it leads into what this ordinance was. This ordinance is kind of a direct result of what happened here. And so what occurred was, everyone knows, there was an arsonist running around in Two Rivers burning down people's houses and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think he just got sentenced. And
he did.
I don't know how many years he got. But
37, 10 suspended.
So he's not going to be messing out with anyone's houses for a long time. And hopefully he's learned his lesson, will never do it again. But, and, you know, what a terrible thing that is to, you know, it doesn't matter what the source of the fire is, but it seems like it's worse if it's an arsonist somehow. But
that cause had an effect.
Right. Well, at any rate, one of the things that it motivated folks to was there was a group of people out in Two Rivers, and they're still together. They're still motivated. And they said, well, what we want to do is we want to create a fire service area in part to better protect ourselves if something like this happens again, you know, with the fresh memory of the arsonist. And so, you know, fair enough. And what they did was they kind of organized and they came to, and this is from the assembly perspective, okay? Mm-hmm. People boots on the ground out in Two Rivers, I think, have saw stuff very differently than we did, which is part of the source of the confusion and the eventual controversy. But from my perspective, when I was on the assembly, we had this group of people, maybe it was like 15, 20 people who seemed highly motivated. They wanted to get steps to create a fire service area. And it turns out there's two ways to do this. So a fire service area, it's like a road service area. It's part of the borough, but it's almost like it's its own mini government within the borough. Like, it gets its own mill rate, it gets its own commissioners, it gets its own budget. It has to be approved by the assembly, but usually the assembly rubber stamps these and just approves whatever they come up with for all of these service areas. And of course, if you're in the city, which I now am, and David, you are, the city is its own government. So you're not going to be having these road service areas, fire service areas. You know, the city does all the roads. It's like it's its own road service area and its own fire service area and so forth. But outside of the city, you may or may not have one of these. There are areas with roads that do not have public road service, yeah. Believe it or not. So it's the neighbors to go out and take care of them. They wanted to be passable. But at any rate, so these folks, there's two ways to create one of these service areas. One way is you can go to the assembly, and the assembly can directly sponsor an ordinance to call for an election. And if the people who live out there vote for it, then it's created. The other way is that someone can circulate a petition, and it has to be like an official form. You got to go to the government to get this. But if you get 50% plus one of the property owners out there, they can call for an election. Now, very technically, ironically, that election still has to be put on the docket by the assembly and sponsored by the assembly, but they can still initiate the process. And so in this case, we had this, you know, in terms of numbers, right, you know, 15, 20 people, a relatively small group of people who kept saying, yeah, this is what we want to do. And so my recollection is, was it Frank Tomaszewski, maybe? I don't know who it was, but someone said, hey, I'm going to go sponsor this ordinance and bring it forward. And nobody said a thing against it. Not one person. At least according to my memory, which could be slightly off, but means it wasn't a lot of people.
Yeah, you usually have an exact memory of events and what happened.
So the ordinance came forward, and it appeared to be very non-controversial. We're like, okay, great. The narcissist ran around. People want to form a fire service area. There seems to be a broad agreement. And like I said, people who are out in Two Rivers, though, we've now heard from another side. Apparently, there were a lot of people who thought differently. And I don't know why they didn't come talk to us at that time. It would have made our job easier. We could have avoided perhaps a lot of this. And by the way, the moral of the story here is the borough assembly probably shouldn't be sponsoring service area elections. It should probably wait for them to be driven by signatures in the future, because this one's turned out to be quite the quagmire. But nonetheless, we sponsored the election. That's the bottom result. We sponsored it this last fall. And it went out for vote. And I'm wanting to say it was something like 100 to 50. I'm just rounding. It was about 2-1 in favor of creation of the fire service area. And then shortly after the vote, we started to hear this other side to the story. And one of the complaints was, and this happened, one of the journalists at the Newsminer covering it wrote the wrong, I'm wanting to say it was the wrong...
voting day.
That the numeric date was correct in the article, but the day of the week, it was accidentally written that it was on a Wednesday instead of Tuesday. The elections are always on Tuesdays.
Yeah.
And that, from what we've been told from citizens, there's some number of people who showed up on a Wednesday and missed the election because of that. It's hard to say exactly how many, but I'd say from citizens' comments, it's probably been at least 5 or 10. Mm-hmm. But it could have been a lot more. You know how sometimes when someone comes in and testify, you can almost reasonably assume that there's probably another 10 people for everyone, you know, or some factor, a lot of people who are being silent. And so some number of people did. However, here's the difficult thing. It was just a journalist who screwed up. You know, David, if you went on the radio here and you accidentally just said, hey, the Wednesday election next week, and you just made a slip of the tongue.
Wednesday, October 4th.
Right. Does that mean that suddenly after that election goes through, whether it's a national election, state election, local election, whatever, does that mean that we all need to invalidate that election?
True.
Because you slept up on the radio?
No. My mind.
And so this question's come up on the assembly. Yeah. Some people have said yes, or at least they said it was one of the contributing reasons.
Yeah.
So at any rate, go down the road, right? And there were some other concerns as well. Mm-hmm. But at any rate, when it came down to the nuts and bolts, and you looked at the election staff, the legal notice, because there was a legal notice in that paper too, the legal notice was correct. Everything that was legally done, as far as any of us can tell, all the evidence suggests the election was 100% validly held legally. Now, that doesn't mean that there weren't some things that were weird about it, okay? We're talking about the nuts and bolts legal argument. So anyway, at the end, in December, it got voted 4-4. That's how the vote came to certify it. But there's a really technical weird thing where in state statute, it basically mandates that you have to decide to certify or to not certify. So if you vote 4-4, that's not a vote to not certify. That's just a vote that said we're not going to certify. I know that sounds confusing, but like you have to, in the affirmative, say what you're going to do, which requires five votes in our body. So we had a one-day meeting that became a two-day meeting, literally. But we took a break to sleep, so we continued the next day. And we had to readdress the issue once we realized what was going on with state statute, and we had to vote. Now, this is weird because, you know, in the city council, you typically, after you vote on something, you don't vote on it again unless there's like a reconsideration motion. But like once it's done, it's done. It's called dilatory, typically, if you bring it up. Well, there's kind of an exception. If the state's mandating you do something and you have to do it, make a decision. If you vote to do it and it fails, well, then you can take a vote to not do it. If that fails, then it's no longer dilatory to re-bring up the motion to vote to do it because the state's mandating. That's the key. Okay. So we ended up voting back and forth,
You're in a foggy area that's tied 4-4.
Well, and right, we were missing an assembly member too. This probably would never have happened if we had nine, right? Because by definition, we would have gotten to five votes.
Yeah.
So we voted back and forth for, I don't know how long, an hour, 2 hours. It definitely wasn't 5 hours, but it was a while. And in the end, we voted to certify the election. And like I said, there were a number of folks who showed up on the wrong day and some folks who had other there was definitely some confusion about what the vote even meant. Mm-hmm. Some people thought it was a subscription service, which I have trouble understanding why that would be out there because we don't have a single subscription service area in the borough. And we have, I don't know how many service areas we have, 100, you know?
I think you hit it on the head where you said we should let the people put together the petition versus the borough assembly doing it by ordinance.
That was a mistake we made.
But who would have known?
We didn't know it was a mistake at the time, which is why we did it. So at any rate, the correct legal process, let's just suppose there's a solid majority of people out there who don't want the fire service area. And I don't know, because the vote that was held indicates there's a solid majority that does want one. Mm-hmm. But let's suppose that there were enough people who just didn't, they were a little confused about what they're voting on, or they didn't show up on the right day, that sort of thing. Let's suppose that that is in fact the truth. If that's the truth, then there shouldn't be a service area. And so the way you would discover that is you would have a second election and the borough could call a second one just like it did the first time. And that would be the correct legal path to do this. And so that's what this ordinance was. There was an ordinance to say, hey, should we hold a second legal election and re-ask the folks if they want to have the service area or not? And so we've gotten pieces of public comment, because at the beginning of the meeting, you have citizens' comments A and B. A is for stuff on the agenda that doesn't have its own public comment or citizens' comment, and B is for anything that's not on the agenda. So we've gotten this, and there's not... So for people to understand, this is what we do between 6 and 7 before the radio gets turned on in our meetings. Mm-hmm. So it gets chopped up into 30 minutes here, 30 minutes the next meeting. So it ends up getting chopped up into all these little pieces and strings. So one of the benefits of Jimmy's ordinance, Mr. Cash's ordinance, had it gone forward, is we could have heard all of it in one block altogether before the assembly decided to do anything. So... Anyway, that was the issue. But for me, the bigger issue is everyone should be able to make a proposal.
Fairbanks, we are going to take a commercial break. I'm going to leave you with a little bit of bumper music, Green Day. And then we're going to have some Fox News, some state news, some commercials, some weather. And see you in a few minutes.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
President Biden delivers the State of the Union address tonight.
The president worked on the speech over the weekend at Camp David. His message is expected to focus on legislative achievements over the past 2 years and building on what the administration sees as economic progress. Arkansas Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders will deliver the official Republican response.
Fox's Jared Halpern on Capitol Hill. More than 6,200 people have died from a major earthquake and aftershocks in Turkey and Syria, a number that is expected to rise dramatically as emergency crews continue their search for survivors. Pieces of a suspected Chinese spy balloon have been recovered off the coast of South Carolina and sent to FBI headquarters for analysis.
Divers are scouring the ocean floor in icy temperatures. The debris field is 15 football fields wide in water that is 47 feet deep.
Fox's Jennifer Griffin. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Two soldiers were injured when a military helicopter was involved in a rollover accident in Talkeetna, officials said Monday. The soldiers were taken to area hospitals where they were treated and released, the U.S. Army said in a statement. The Army AH-64D Apache helicopter was damaged in the Sunday accident, which occurred when the helicopter was taking off. A determination should be made later this week if the helicopter can be salvaged, spokesperson John Pinnell said in an email. Other details of the crash were not immediately available, but the cause will be addressed in a post-accident investigation by the Army Combat Readiness Center, Pinnell said. That investigative team is expected to arrive later this week. The Apache was one of four from the 25th Attack Battalion at Fort Wainwright, which is near Fairbanks, and they were traveling to Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson in Anchorage for training. The four helicopters stopped in Talkeetna to refuel. Talkeetna is located about 110 miles north of Anchorage. We will continue to update this story as more details become available.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
How do you get the smoking best deal in town on just about anything? On 50-50 Fridays. Duh, that's how. 50-50 Fridays partners together with your favorite local merchants to bring you great new deals of half-off savings. Simply go to this station's websites and click on the 50-50 Fridays button at the top of the page to see what new deal is being offered each week. Get ready to score your half-off deals on such items as dining out, entertainment, services, activities, events, and even more. Shop 50-50 Fridays. You'll spend less. You'll have more. And even if it isn't Friday, be sure to check back with the 50-50 Fridays page regularly, where you can discover unclaimed half-off deals that may still be available. Every 50-50 Fridays week, you'll hear about the upcoming offer daily on 8 of the most listened to radio stations in the interior. Can your business benefit from a week of saturated, enthusiastic promotion on 8 radio stations? The answer is yeah, it sure. Why wouldn't it? Talk to us. 50-50 Fridays, brought to you by the radio station, your local family of radio stations.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs. Starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. The Buzz at 11:30. Brought to you by the Tanana Herb Company. And then Health Talk with Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical at noon. Followed by the Compos Outdoor Show at 12:30. And later, it's Fairbanks Foodies at 5:30 p.m. All shows can be found on the KFAR website in the archives section. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM,
and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back in the studio here with Aaron Lajewski on the Borough Assembly. We're talking about a change of operations that happened at the last meeting. And like you said, you're taking away people's representation, because they, for one of those moments that rarely occurs, you had the person who wrote the ordinance gone, and you had one person who may or may not have had a conflict of interest. So it allowed four people to be dictating on something that had never happened before. So looking at those, Mindy O'Neill, Savannah Fletcher, David Gutenberg, and Kristen Kelly. A very lock-solid group of quite liberal people. Very liberal.
Well, David, I'm not here.
I know that.
To make any of my colleagues look bad.
No, I'm not. I'm just calling it as it is. And Tip O'Neill said all politics are local. This was local, And they made a personal decision as a collective group to take away one of the members' rights to have a hearing on it, because they knew if this happened, they would probably lose. So cut it off here while they could. I'm just surmising all that. And you're not shaking your head no.
I'm letting you say your piece, David, but very seriously, like, I am here as myself.
I know that. I'm the sideline commentator.
Yep.
But do you expect that to happen in the future more?
I have concerns. I don't think it will, but I'm concerned enough that I wrote that community perspective and I'm on the radio here. So if this is a one-off, it's, I would say, for this one particular issue and for people affected by it, they're going to feel like it's a really big deal. Mm-hmm. In the grand scheme of things, if we mess up once and we turn around and we correct our behavior, it's just like you fell and you got back up. You know, if you just compare it, like, you know, it's like your kid. You fall, you're learning how to walk, you get back up.
Well, that's one way to look at it. Another way to look at it is, well, you know, if they can do it again, will they?
That's a good question. I don't know. I know I'm not going to vote that way. Mm-hmm. Even if it cuts the other way, mm-hmm. there's a different kind of coalition that's trying to behave in that way. Let's just suppose that happens. I haven't seen the indication. I'm not going along with it. I will vote for every person on the assembly for them to be heard, mm-hmm. regardless of political factions or whatever.
But four people decided not to do that.
That's a fact.
Four people decided not to do that like you would do.
And I'm telling you, I'll do it even if it makes people mad at me. I'm going to listen to everybody.
Yeah, good. Good for you. That's how you should do it. Hopefully the four people who went a unique direction that had not been done before may have learned from this and will be more responsible towards their fellow assembly members.
We can hope so, and that's something I'm trying to work on, because I do chair the meeting, so in a way I have more, I definitely have more influence over maybe like the tempo of the meeting, that sort of thing, than anyone else. And so I am trying to create an atmosphere as best as I can of just respect, like, because people should disagree.
That's what a leader does.
There's no problem with that, and even vehement disagreements, but it just, I got to silence my phone here. Hope you guys aren't hearing that on the radio.
They are. You ready for a phone call?
Yep.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Assembly Member Aaron Lajewski, and your name is?
Oh, this is Matt.
Hello, Matt.
You guys doing good today?
So far, so good. How about you, sir?
Oh, not too bad. Yeah, hey, you guys are hitting on a lot of stuff there. I just want to throw out the Robert rules, the minorities.
Mm-hmm.
There's a purpose for that, and that goes back to the Constitution. You guys are hitting on a whole bunch of stuff right there. You're mentioning dictators and all that stuff. And there's the reason why the minorities' rights trump the groups. And that is because we live in a republic.
Yes.
Not a democracy. Democracy and what you're describing will always fall to totalitarian type Nazi communist type government, and that's why the rights of the individual trumps the rights of the majority, and that's why the Robert's rules are written that way.
Very true.
Yeah, Robert's rules is incredibly respectful to the rights of the minority, but for everyone else who's listening, and Matt, I can understand you know what you're talking about, you know. But just in case there's someone out there who isn't familiar with Robert's rules, it basically says what we've been talking about. The minority has the right at least to be heard, to make proposals, that sort of thing. They don't have the right to get their way, right? That's not what you're saying, Matt. You're just saying they have the right to engage in debate, be heard, make their proposal.
When I was on the Planning Commission, and I was the head of it for 2 years, I always made sure each year that I was the head of it that we had, the chairman, we had one working hour on Robert's Rules of Order. So everyone knew what could happen, the procedure, and it just made it all work more effectively. Much so.
Yes, it takes power away from dictators.
Yeah, and it gives a fined process that everyone can respect and use and operate within. And it stops controversy or hard feelings, or what happened there with Assemblymember Jimmy Cash's ordinance. So, one of those fun things.
Well, and so for our assembly, we use a slightly modified version of Robert's Rules, but Robert's Rules is more or less what we're doing. It's fairly minor modifications that we do. And technically, what was done was in accordance with our rules. I guess what I'm saying is it wasn't in accordance with the spirit of the rules.
Yeah.
Right. It's just to keep...
The intent was purposeful. The intent was purposeful. Matt, thank you very much for the call, buddy. You have a great morning.
You too. Bye.
Yeah, the intent was purposeful.
Well, I'm not going to comment necessarily on the intent. I can comment on the effects. Because really, I'll say it again, I'm not here to make any of my colleagues look bad. It would be inappropriate if I went on the radio to do that.
Yeah, and I'm just here to let everyone know, realistically, who did what, and let them make their own decisions. Simple as that. You can look up the vote very easily and know how people voted. But that's your body. Now, you have a very fractured body, and I hope that all of you, all nine, learn from this and sort of take a pause on the fracture that you have. And hopefully, you know, it sounds like you're trying to do that, Aaron. Good for you. That's what good leaders do. So, boy, so let's go to the, you know, let's go to the trails. That was quite interesting.
The trails issue is difficult and interesting. First thing to say when we talk about trails is, and there's this serious founded concern mm-hmm. by folks, and I share it. No one should come onto your property without your permission and build a trail, ever, period.
Mm-hmm.
No one should do that. And that has happened in this borough. Now, I don't know how often it's happened to like a regular house, you know. I suspect more of the time it's been larger tracts of land
mm-hmm.
where perhaps they were so large it was difficult for the owner to regularly walk the lot lines and kind of physically control what was happening. But we definitely have had some of our trails just kind of put in. So you might call this like a squatted trail.
Mm-hmm.
But at any rate, it's interesting if we take a trail like the Equinox Marathon Trail.
Mm-hmm.
I've talked to staff. And even a major trail like that that's been around for quite a while. And I actually don't know how long. Do you know, David, how long that trail's been here?
The trail changes depending on the conditions. But they started the Equinox Marathon, 66, right in there?
Okay. And that's why I don't know, because it started before my time.
Ask Dan Justice.
but even in a long-standing trail like that, of which I've gone every step of that trail multiple times, not in one go. I've never done the whole marathon in one go.
I have. I lived.
I've done it maybe like thirds training runs before, but at any rate, and I couldn't do that today. I'm not conditioned enough, but I could do it in maybe 6 months, but not today. Most of that trail does have legal access for where it is. These are my conversations with staff, what I've learned about it. But they've told me there are definitely a few areas like near the top of Ester Dome where the trail exists and it goes through some people's, you know, backyards or whatever. And we haven't heard any complaints from those folks that they have this trail that doesn't necessarily have the explicit legal permission to be there. But here's the concept, okay? What if you had one of those lots? And let's suppose it was a big enough lot that, you know, what if you wanted to, you know, what if you were nearing you're in the latter half of your life and you're kind of planning, you know, estate planning. And what if you wanted to subdivide that lot into two pieces or three pieces or four pieces or whatever and give it off to kids or grandkids or whatever for your estate planning.
Mm-hmm.
You have that trail and it's an A or B trail, and my recollection is that's what the Equinox Trail is. It's a Class A trail, so only for these special trails if they're referenced in our trails plan. They get special, almost like grandfather rights. So if you have that piece of property, the trail doesn't have a trails easement. That's typically how it gets its legal right to exist there. And it's not there. And you go to subdivide, the borough is going to tell you with our current rules, you have to grant the trail an easement, whether you want to or not,
mm-hmm.
if you want to subdivide.
What, you know, maybe you can fill in some blanks for me, but it seemed like to me what I was also reading that even if there's not a trail there, but there's a plan for a trail, they get the trail.
I need to check on that.
And, yeah.
Because I think that's not the case.
Okay. I hope not.
But I need to check because that's also part of the concerns about this.
Yeah.
Because I think the ultimate concern here, and we could go away from this specific example.
Yeah.
I think the ultimate concern is that some bureaucrat can go find this trails plan, draw a line across the map willy-nilly, and maybe the trail exists, maybe it doesn't exist. In this case, let's say it doesn't.
But it can be altered by a bureaucrat.
Now anyone in that path, as they subdivide, has to suddenly start granting legal access.
Yeah.
And that's like quasi-eminent domain. It's like it really rhymes.
Yeah.
It's nearly, I don't know if eminent domain has compensation. So I suppose if there was forced compensation, it would be eminent domain, right?
Well, they're not talking compensation. They're just talking about a taking.
I guess you could argue that's worse than eminent domain if you wanted to.
It is.
But now, the good news is the landowner can choose to not subdivide, but depending on the circumstance, that might not be a good option.
Yeah, if you could find out, that'd be great.
So at any rate, so we had a proposal to change that, and it was highly controversial. And so I really agreed with all of the intent of the proposal.
Mm-hmm.
And Dave, you probably know from politics, sometimes you can do the right thing, but if it's done in the wrong way, it doesn't work.
Correct.
And that's what happened with this proposal. And so part of the problem was we didn't have the mayor on board. And the mayor was so not on board, he was going to veto it. He had told this to his staff during a staff meeting. He told it to me before the meeting, and he told it to the assembly during.
And make him veto it.
Well, we could. That's one option.
Yeah.
But I'm into results, getting mm-hmm. things done. So and remember, the assembly has been a little bit having long meetings, a little bit, I'm being nice when I say a little bit here, very long meetings,
yes,
very
you,
confrontational.
You guys do, man.
So if we had forced the mayor into that that veto, then it almost for sure would have been brought up. I could say with almost the same certainty that the sun would rise, right? Okay, mm-hmm. like nearly 100% chance there would have been a veto override vote. And there's also nearly 100% chance in this case, the way the votes were falling, that it would. There's basically no chance it would have been overridden.
Mm-hmm.
So it would have accomplished nothing in terms of the nuts and bolts of changing code, and it would have continued this controversy, the overall bigger picture. So anyway, there's another solution that mostly accomplishes the goals that I'm working on
okay.
right now. So there's two parts. Let's think about this like it's a ship.
We'll
take it on water.
We'll come back after these messages, okay?
Yep.
Fairbanks will be here. You go. We'll be right back.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Lawyers often promise superior skills or care when litigating personal injury cases. But today, clients are also looking for value from their lawyer. At Jason Wiener & Associates, we recognize that some cases are easier than others. 33% is not always an equitable fee. We will design a contingency fee retainer that reflects the difficulty of your case. Jason Wiener & Associates will fight for you and help guide you through the personal injury claim process without charging you an arm and a leg. Call 907-452-5196 for a free personal injury consultation today.
Glass Doctor is known as the home, auto, and business glass shop. But what do we mean when we say business? From freight liners to forklifts, loaders, graders, even giant haul trucks, Glass Doctor will custom cut laminated safety glass. From that 1/8-inch piece for that broken backhoe side window, all the way up to 2-inch thick, bullet-resistant glass for that underground mining equipment or armored truck. All fabricated right here in Alaska. When it comes to heavy equipment, Glass Doctor has you covered. Find out more at glassdoctor.com.
The Glass Doctor will fix your pains.
Oh, yeah. Weather brought to you by the Eye Clinic of Fairbanks. Your eyes connect you to your world. Care for them with the Eye Clinic of Fairbanks, your eye health professionals on Mini Street.
KFAR weather.
Overcast skies this afternoon with snow showers likely. Highs level off around 8 above. Winds out of the northeast around 5 miles per hour. Cloudy tonight, snow likely 6 below. Snow likely again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 5 above. 1 to 2 inches of snow today through tomorrow. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back in the studio here with Aaron Lajewski, presiding officer. You know, you guys have some really long meetings from the Borough Assembly. Man.
When you've got three or four controversial topics all hitting at once.
It's
the people and the public.
The perfect storm hits you.
Yeah, everyone's got a lot to say.
Yeah.
So back to this issue, this concept. Like, think of the Titanic when it was floating, right? It had watertight compartments. And so did, you know, battleships back in World War II. They had all these watertight compartments. Imagine you were on one of these ships and it springs a leak. And one of these watertight compartments starts taking on water. So there's two things that you want to do ultimately to fix this problem. One, you want to plug the hole. Mm-hmm. So you're not taking on any more water. But even when you have that hole plugged, you want to go pump the water you've taken on out and get back to where you were before as a functioning ship. So we do have this issue where private property rights aren't being, in this one aspect, I'm sure if we just, well, here's one thing to note. This didn't enter the public conscious for decades after it had happened. This has been going on for 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't aware of it till December. I talked to Lance Roberts, who'd been on the assembly for 6 years. He didn't know about it during those 6 years. And so it's just kind of been buried in code, and people haven't been paying attention to it. Which one tells me it's not a, at least it's not like
it's not a frequently used thing.
Yeah, it's not happening all the time, but it could have been that it's been happening here and there, and we're just not hearing about it, and that would be a real shame. Because if someone does have a trail going through their property and they don't want it there, the first thing the borough should do is move it.
Yeah.
Go around. There's lots of land. Go around. And most people actually want to have trails in their backyard, but to respect the people who don't, because there are people who don't, because they're worried about they might bring vandals or trespassers who go off the trail or whatever, or they might bring a snow machine that might make some noise or whatever, you know, in the winter. If someone doesn't want that trail, then
Go up a section line easement. There you go.
So, but at any rate, so I'm contemplating, and I haven't gotten legal approval for this, but changing code so that in order to create a new A or B trail, as a condition of its creation, it has to already have legal access. So that's like stopping the leak.
Yeah.
That's like saying we're not going to take on any more water. We're not going to enlarge in this. We're not going to make this problem bigger than it already is. And then the second part is, okay, well, we've taken on some water. We have that water, in this case, is, let's say, Equinox Marathon Trail, some private property near the top of Vester Dome,
mm-hmm.
where the trail's going through people's yards, and it does not have legal access. That's not good. That's a problem, particularly for those property owners if they don't want the trail to be there. Now, here's the good news. Most of them probably want the trail to be there. So I've already worked with the mayor and staff, and we're working with the plan. We already have money set aside in our KIP, capital improvement plan, where the idea is we're going to be able to go out, knock on those people's doors, give them a letter, whatever, communicate with them and say, hey, did you know that you have this trail in your backyard and it doesn't have legal protection? Well, for most people, even if you find out you have that, you're not going to go grant the legal protection to the trail because it costs money. Why would you go pay money to grant it legal protection when you can just do nothing and say nothing and it works just fine, right? If you're, I'm talking about from the perspective of that particular property owner. Now, that's very different than the person who maybe doesn't want the trail. But let's suppose the person who does. Well, then the borough can go out and say, hey, well, we got a little pot of money. We're going to go pay for the surveying work. All you got to do is sign here. And we're going to go, if you're willing to grant this legal access, we can make it happen to you at no cost for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And over time, you can patch together any holes without the subdivision process. So that basically that's the goal, is to not use this taking ever.
Yeah.
To never, you know, take someone's private property. And so you
or,
get
or hold it against them when they want to subdivide.
Right. So instead you go to all these people and you get them to voluntarily transfer, those who want to, and mm-hmm. those who don't, that's when you say, okay, well, let's go reroute the trail around. Let's accommodate you. And so.
Or what you can do is, hey, did we take this by eminent domain anyway? You know, has this trail been in use unstopped for 10 years?
Well, I'm told there is a process with the state to do that. Now, I personally would not, I can't imagine a circumstance where I'd advocate for the borough to initiate that.
Yeah.
Because then the borough could initiate it as a legal party. But mm-hmm. So for people who are listening, if there's a trail, it's been well ingrained in the community for over 10 years, but it was illegally put in. My understanding is there's something called a prescriptive easement in mm-hmm. state statute. And so some person can basically sue, go to the state and ask for this trail to get legal protection from the state.
From the court of law.
Yeah.
Not the court of law.
Well, yeah, it is the judicial system, legal system. So there is a way, for better or for worse, for this to occur. Okay. And what I'm saying is the borough shouldn't use it, and the borough doesn't need to use it.
You know, and you know, let's look at the, you've had three items of a storm. Now you got your fourth. You said you have the budget coming up. And that's always a fight. You know, what do you fund and what do you try and fund what you can, and what do you try and fund when you know you can't fund at all?
Well, but back to trails, just one quick statement. I think there's a way to address the concerns for private property rights and make sure they're not violated, and to maintain a robust trail system in the borough. I don't like, it's been presented like they're at odds with each other, that one can't exist without the other. I reject that notion. Okay. I think they can live together.
You know, Aaron, you're a very astute person, and you've been on the assembly now this year, going into your sixth year. And so if someone can do that and figure it out, you probably can. Good for you. And you have a real estate background too. So, you know, you're very protective of people's individual property rights.
Yeah, and I can tell you, I don't want anyone building a trail. Well, I don't have the right type of property where anyone would do this. I have a condo. No one's building a trail through my backyard.
I've got both a street on the front and the back, so I'm good to go.
But I may very well have a property where someone could do this, and I absolutely, under no circumstance, will want someone just pushing a trail on me without my permission.
So we got about 3 minutes left. When do you start working on your budget?
The prep work has already begun.
Okay.
I suspect all of the department heads already have draft budgets prepared that have not been presented to the assembly yet. I have already seen the clerk's draft budget. So the way it works with that narrow portion of the budget is the clerk and deputy clerk will present to the assembly finance chair, deputy presiding officer, and presiding officer, and we'll go over it, and we'll make changes, us, the leadership team, that's what they call us. And so that's already been drafted. We have that document ready to present to the assembly. So pretty soon here, we're gonna start having these presentations to the assembly, the initial ones of the different departments. And then April is typically when we start putting them all together, and we have our very long budget meetings. This is normal. Like we schedule these weekend meetings that sometimes go.
I see the cars there on Saturday, and I know what it is. Me and the dog, we walk there, you know, by your building almost daily, and it starts in April, and there it is.
Yep, and so just like for your process, which is you're on a calendar year, right?
We're on a calendar year.
Yeah, we're on a split one. Our starts July 1, so yeah, that we're offset. But yeah, we're in budget season for us, and the school district is as well. And the school district, our payment to the school district is one of the biggest. It's the single biggest, like one
line
item.
They got the biggest budget in the borough. I mean, in the interior, from a municipal government standpoint. Their budget is the biggest.
Yeah, we typically contribute over $50 million a year to them.
Yeah.
As just like a single lump sum, like here's a check, here you go, school district. Use this to educate the kids as best as you can.
Okay. Aaron, we're coming to the final half minute. Anything you want to close out with? Thank you for being here. Thank you for the discussion you've had.
Yeah, and I guess I would like to say, I'd like to thank the public for their engagement with the assembly. And just a reminder, I'm speaking on my own personal opinion here, not representing the assembly, but thank you for coming to the assembly, and please keep coming to us. Please keep sharing your opinions and telling us how we can do better, because we can do better, and we always need help to be better.
There you go. Well, Fairbanks, that is our show for today. I appreciate you all listening. Tomorrow I'll be here with Nick Nugent, I apologize, and we're going to talk about the schooner that was stuck in the ice and how Ben Allison lost his life trying to get people there. I will see you tomorrow.